This episode of the DubDub Review is sponsored by Magical Mara Designs. Magical Mara Designs was created by Disney superfan Tamara Spidell. Tamara decided she was going to create cute and comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears because she couldn't find a style or a size that was comfortable to wear all day. So she decided to create her own Etsy shop that featured designs by Maleficent, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Ariel, Belle, Tiana, Harry Potter, and more. And if you don't see what you're looking for on her Etsy shop, well, she'll create a style just for you. Again, check out her Etsy shop at Magical Mara Designs. Hello, welcome to the DubDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my regular crew today, Peter Ponacorvo. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. That's good to hear.
I'm not going
to
ask how you are, because you always one-up me, and then Stacey one-ups you, which makes her two-up me. I'm just not doing it.
And then you're just there.
Exactly.
All right. Stacey, how are you doing?
I am amazing.
Look at she's bringing it. No, I can't even top
makes
that.
Makes me sound like I'm just sitting here like a mope. Just, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay, but I'm not nearly okay. Amazing. All right, let's get this back on the rails. Fine. Jesse Fouts is joining us today, and he's our friend. He's a member of our EDCOT community, and he's also you know, interacts with us through Twitter. I hit him up on direct messenger, and furthermore, he's a really great guy. So Jesse Fouts, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So guys, before we even start today's show, and we're going to go in a couple of different directions today, I want to go and ask you guys a question. So we just recently passed the 20th anniversary of Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. So if I asked you guys, could you share a favorite memory, could be anything, of Animal Kingdom Park? I want to know what's your memory of that place you can share with us. Stacey, do you want to go first as the lone female voice on today's show?
Sure, absolutely. So when I think of Animal Kingdom, I think of our last trip where Britta, who, if everybody doesn't know, she was 2.5 at the time, and as a 2.5-year-old, she is just oddly obsessed with movie Avatar. And so when we, you know, when obviously Pandora opened up, it had opened, I think, the week before we had arrived, and she was just beside herself, so excited about this. And I took her just a mom and daughter morning, and we got her face painted as a Navi, so she was blue from face paint, not from markers. And we got her a shirt, and she had a little tutu on, and just so excited just to be turned into a Navi. So that is just seared into my memory as my favorite thing, thinking about Animal Kingdom.
And she's been trying to reproduce that, like, it
exactly
seems like
all
every
the
week
time
at the Nyman House.
And it's been the bane of your existence ever since.
When we just pulled out the shirt today, too, to like kind of switch over from summer or from winter to summer, just with wishful thinking. And I pulled it out and showed her, and she was so excited that it came out again. So I'm sure she'll be wearing that quite a bit.
That'll be her new swimsuit top instead of her
exactly
swimsuit.
She was wearing
Pandora
that today,
shirt
too.
Wow. Jesse, share us, what is your favorite memory of Animal Kingdom Park?
Well, you know, and I think I have so many, but I think the one that stands out is the first time we had attended the Lion King show. And I can tell you right now, anybody who's listening, who's never been, you need to see this show. We didn't go to it for the first couple times, and I really don't know why, but we had fast passed our seating, so we got down on the front, and my son was wearing his birthday button, and of course he got picked to represent the Lions. So And to us, just the joy, you know, in his face, you know, up there, and just that whole show, it was incredible. And I kept thinking, you know, where else could you do something like this? You know, and just that, they so authentic. That show was just wonderful. So, anyways, that has to be our favorite memory from Animal Kingdom.
That does sound awesome. Jesse, how old was your son when that happened?
So he was 7 years old.
Oh man, he probably remembers that as clear as day too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Wow, that's awesome. Peter, what is your favorite memory of the park?
You know what? Mine. Okay, Missy doesn't listen anyway. Whatever. So I'm skipping the honeymoon trip, and it's actually going to be my most recent trip.
Okay.
Is myself, my wife, my mom, and our good friend B just walking around in Pandora and then going and have a nice dinner at Tiffin's, all four of us. It was just probably one of the most enjoyable experiences I've had at a Disney park, period.
Pete, that's an awesome memory. You got your mom with you. You got your wife with you.
Yep.
You got B with you. I bet you that conversation. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to hear that conversation that they were.
It was a very fun night.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great memory. You guys make my memory seem terrible. I've been to the park several times, and my most, I don't want to say enjoyable, but the most vibrant memory I have was the first time we stayed at the park long enough to experience like nighttime. So bear in mind that Animal Kingdom being open late, that wasn't, that just happened just recently.
Yeah, so you'd have to think before.
Right? Yeah, you'd have to time it right where you'd have to go in like December or January and hope the park was open until 8 o'clock just to catch some of that nighttime action. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the thematics of the park. So when you walk around and they have just the... It's not even like an overly large amount of light. They just have just the right amount of light on the paths. But it's illuminating all this greenery instead of like iron structures and roller coasters and sounds. It looked like the park just, it was there for hundreds of years. And I remember thinking to myself, this could be the most beautiful park at nighttime. And at that point, it wasn't even open for more than an hour or two. But I just remember walking around there thinking, this is unbelievable. This is just a gorgeous facility, a gorgeous park at night. Why don't people talk about this? And of course, now with Avatar and all the nighttime bioluminescence, you know, it actually is up to that billing. But this was prior to all that. But I'll always remember walking and thinking, holy cow, this is just really beautiful here at nighttime. So, outstanding. So, Jesse, let's get back to you and let's talk about our show for the day, if you don't mind. First off, tell us who you are and tell us what you do. Give us a little intro on yourself.
Oh, great. Well, my name's Jesse Phelps. I live in Burlington, North Carolina, which is, you know, about 45 minutes outside of the Raleigh-Durham area. I full-time work in accounting, but for fun and for love, I'm also a Disney travel agent. I'm a travel agent who specializes in Disney travel. I work with Marvelous Mouse Travels, a very, very good agency full of just different agents that have, you know, showed me some great stuff. But anyways, have a tremendous love of Disney, all things Disney, whether it be film, TV, you know, internet, going to the parks. My wife and I joined the Disney Vacation Club a couple of years ago, and we have not regretted it since. In fact, we're always trying to find ways to buy more points to get down there and stay longer. So.
Cool.
Where would you buy?
Yeah.
So we actually bought direct in with the Polynesian.
So. All right. Another happy homeowner at the Poly like myself.
Well, and you know, myself.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Chris is the odd man out tonight. Or Saratoga Springs, Chris.
But that's not on my business card, Pete. I don't advertise myself as Saratoga Springs Chris, but I just might start doing that. Instead of Disney Chicago for Twitter, I might just say Saratoga Springs Chris.
I think I'd probably start following that just because.
So, Jesse, if someone, let's say after the show today, wanted to ask you a question on Facebook or Twitter, is it just Jesse Fouts, or give us your social media addresses in case I forget to ask for them later?
Sure. So at Twitter, I'm at DisneyDad23. Mm-hmm. And then also for Facebook, I'm at Facebook.com. Jesse Fouts, and my business page for Marvelous Mouse Travels is Jesse's Disney Travel. So that's if you want to look me up on either of those sites, I'm also on Instagram at DisneyDad23 as well. I try to keep my love of Disney through all platforms of social media, whether it be sharing out a picture of just the memory, something that's happened, or participating in a this or that type of question.
And here's, I think, where your problem comes from. So you are on social media, and at some point, you must have liked a tweet, or you downloaded a show, and then before you know it, you got Insane Chris probably connecting with you on Direct Messenger, including just recently, when I caught wind that you were driving to Disney for a recent vacation. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And then your buddy Chris here, I'm sending you messages probably at times where you need to focus on the road, asking you questions about your trip. But you started a good trip idea in my mind. So today, guys, I know we prepared and talked about this. We want to hear about your trip. But before we do, we also want to talk about ways we can survive a long drive to Disney. So, Jesse, how far is it from Burlington to the gates at Walt Disney World?
So for us, it's about 9 hours, just right under nine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes more than that, of course, depending on traffic. Mm-hmm. So,
Stacy, I know the Nyman clan drive down every year. How long do you, if you were to drive, I know you might stay overnight, but if you were to go solid, how long would it take us to get there? And I say us we're all in the same boat here in Chicago.
Yeah, we've driven a few times straight through, maybe stopping just for like 20 minutes or so to kind of just close our eyes. Mm-hmm. But it's supposed to take about 18 hours, maybe a little bit more. But usually it's somewhere between 20 and 24 hours, depending on how long we stop to eat. Inevitably, with four kids, gas station stops take forever. Mm-hmm. So that all kind of adds up. It's a long drive, but...
Jesse, I will
say... The result is worth it.
It is worth it. But when we hear you say something like 9 hours, I'm sure Pete, Stacy, and I are like, oh my gosh, I'd be there every day. Because it seems so close. But you drive down with two kids and your wife. And, mm-hmm. The Nymans, you have four kids. I have three kids. And Pete, you've driven before with Missy?
Nope.
Okay, so this is...
She refuses to drive.
Oh, she's a smart one. Okay, so...
She's very
smart.
I
want to take that road trip, but Missy is having none of it.
Well, maybe these tips today will help her. All right. So I know you've taken long road trips because you used to in your previous professional career, you used to spend an excessively long time inside of an ambulance. So I know you know about how to prepare yourself for when you drive.
Absolutely true.
So let's go over some tips here of how to survive a long road trip. Give us our best tips for families, for not families, for husbands and wives, for anybody to make this trip more enjoyable. So, Stacy, again, give us an idea here. What's your, let's come up with, say, three tips or so apiece to survive mm-hmm. this long road trip. What's your number one?
So my number one is, has to do with kids. And this worked really well when the three older ones were a lot younger. We did state line gifts, went to the dollar store, and I kind of just saved up throughout the whole year. Some things were bigger, some things were like from Scholastic book clubs and stuff like that. And every time we crossed a state line, all the kids would get one of these gifts. And it really made the trip go by so much faster because they were anticipating the next time we crossed that line. And there's so many states that we go through driving from Chicago to Florida that it really... happened quite a bit, and especially coming from Chicago, as soon as you get into Indiana, I mean, it's like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun for them to get one right away after we crossed into Indiana. So The kids loved that. And I think we might do that again this year with Britta. I don't know if we'll get it for all the kids. They should be able to handle not getting one. But maybe Griffin and Britta will each get a state line gift, and the older ones will get a gift card or something at the end if they can tolerate it.
Wow. Have you guys ever thought about something like that? Where'd you hear that from, Stacey?
No.
I think I read it on the Diz message boards way, way, way back in the day. So, but it worked really well.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good idea. Well, how'd you handle, can I ask you, how'd you handle the Tennessee-Georgia border where it actually goes from Tennessee to Georgia and then back to Tennessee really fast and then back into Georgia?
I think that, like, that might have been our first time going down where we were kind of paying attention to it because we had these gifts. And I kind of panicked. I was like, oh my gosh, we just went back into another state and we have to go back again. But the kids were all sleeping during that time. So they were like all taking a nap at the same time. So I avoided any revolt.
Okay.
Revolution.
Excellent. Jesse, give us a good tip here. What do you got?
Oh, okay. So my top tip would be choose the right departure time. And I say that because I know, obviously, I'm not making the same distance as you guys, and I definitely can understand that. That's a long drive to take down, and of course, when you look at 8 hours, 9 hours, you know, obviously that's almost a wink compared. But when I say choose a right departure time, I mean, you know, obviously there's other factors to consider when you're driving down. You know, traffic is a big factor, mm-hmm. Knowing where your heavy traffic spots are. So something we started doing just a couple of years ago was actually departing overnight. We would put the kids to bed, and I would load the car and get everything ready, and we would move the kids from the bed to the car and then make the drive overnight. So that way we showed up at Disney property at 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock. And, the kids will be waking up just right as we get to the IFAR, part there just past Daytona. And then they're seeing that, you know, they're waking up and we're going to be at Disney. Now, obviously, if you're not making the overnight drive, you're not doing that, you're starting during the day, I'd say, you know, make sure you're planning your routes. Where are the busiest intersections or places where traffic comes in? Anybody who's drove down I-95, and I don't think that you guys, you're probably coming down 75, mm-hmm. but I can tell you I-95 has about 3 or 4 spots through South Carolina through Georgia and into Florida that just gets super congested and mm-hmm. can make it a traffic nightmare. So I say, if you're driving down, just know the what cities are going to be heavy traffic when. So
that's a great
tip. That's a good one.
So
yeah.
Pete and Stacy, so just off the top of your head, in our direction, what would be the city that you'd want to time out to avoid rush hour traffic the most between Chicago and Walt Disney World? Give me the city.
Atlanta is where we always hit traffic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Atlanta's got a big issue. What do you think, Pete?
Personally, I have an issue getting through the construction on the way to Indianapolis.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, that's always a bad one too.
These are all valid, and yeah, so time that so there's least amount of traffic on the road and hit Atlanta when it's not rush hour or like close to the nighttime or middle of the night. Those are all good ideas. So
by the way, my door to Polynesian door.
Mm-hmm.
17 hours, 35 minutes, 1,194 miles.
From your door to the Polynesian door. Okay. Well,
Polynesian.
You've logged more miles than anyone I know, just based on your job. So give us a tip. What would you give us as a tip to survive a long drive?
Know your limits.
Okay.
Do not try to drive longer than you can physically drive. And by that, I mean do not try to sit there and say, oh, I've been driving for 7 hours. I can make it for 2 more.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tired, stop.
Mm-hmm.
If here's a better one, don't try to drive for 9 hours at a time without getting out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever heard of a DVT or a deep vein thrombosis? It's a blood clot in your legs that you get from sitting for too long. Okay. They can actually be very dangerous.
Yeah, I imagine so.
So legitimately, even if it's like every 2-3 hours, hit a rest stop, get out, walk around for a couple of minutes, stretch your legs. Even if you don't have to go to the bathroom, get out of the car, go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Or bring 4 kids with you.
They got to pee every 15 minutes anyway, I'm sure.
They're always drinking something, so.
Okay, so let me give you my tip here. Because here's my tip. When you leave your house...
Airbags?
Initially, yeah. When you... kind of.
Here's a 2-liter kit.
Yeah. When you leave your house, you know, most people are going to go and leave their car and have their car be full at that point when they leave. But I try to not have my car be full. I try to have about a half a tank of gas or maybe slightly more than a half a tank of gas. And here's why. Because when you leave, you're excited. And usually you tell the kids, you got to go pee? No, we're good. But someone's going to have to go to the bathroom. And a half a tank of gas in most cars will get you about 2 hours into your trip. And usually you're 2 hours into your trip, you can go and time it so everyone's got to go to the bathroom and you've got to fill up at the same time. There's nothing worse than having to fill up on gas and then you look around and say, anyone got to go to the bathroom? And I'll say, no, because you know, like 20 minutes after you get back on the expressway, everyone's got to go to the bathroom. So
don't
I try
give the kid 2 more Gatorades at the gas station.
Right? So if you fill up with, like, you got 4 hours of gas in your car or longer, you're going to have to stop. And at that point, I guess you can go and top the tank off, but it seems so wasteful. For me, it's like, hey, 2 hours. All right, I'm on my way. I feel a little refreshed. Let's go to the bathroom. Let's get it all filled up. And then you're good for another 3 or 4 hours after that. So my tip is make sure you've got a half tank of gas or slightly more. But if you were to have like a quarter tank or you're completely unprepared, well, then I just pity you because it's like you feel like, oh, this is so much work to fill up right now. Try to get yourself at least 2 hours from home, and then you'll be in sync at that point. So, Pete, look at you had the you did the bump set, and I did the spike on the bathroom duty on the car, right?
There you go. I'm trying to think of where 2 hours would get us.
2 hours, Pete?
2 hours isn't going to... We're into Indiana.
Yeah, we're not in Indianapolis, though.
We're not to Indy yet.
Mm-hmm. In between.
We're somewhere in the nothingness of Indiana.
This is true. All right, Stacy, give us another one. Let's go around maybe once more.
Mine is another tip with kids. Mm-hmm. With having 4 of them, they bicker and they argue quite a bit. Especially in a cramped car when they have stuff just all around them. So we came up with a kind of like the stoplight program that classrooms use where you have the red, green, and yellow lights. When we arrive at a gas station, the child's behavior is on green. They get a certain amount of money that they can use at the gas station. If it's on yellow, they get a certain amount. If it's on red, they don't get anything. So they get lots of warnings, like, we're going to be stopping soon. You're on yellow. You might want to improve your behavior and get back to green. And when we are really conscious about doing this, it works really, really well. We almost don't even have to, you know, warn them. They really work hard to be on the green. And just to make it clear, if they can kind of accumulate this money throughout the trip. So if they don't want to get anything at the gas station, they can save it, and then they'll get it. They can use it at Disney, too. And Griffin, he's our kind of good saver, so he usually has all of his money by the end of the thing. The others are buying, like Pete said, Gatorade and candy and stuff like that. But it helps
Griffin's
because...
Griffin's been stockpiling Snickers bars last Halloween in his pockets.
I would not be surprised with that one. He plans ahead. So it helps us because we have the cash in an envelope. We have it ready to go, and it helps with behavior, too. They get what they get if they're behaving themselves. So,
wow, dang, Miss Nyman, awesome. you came prepared today.
That comes with 14 years of being a classroom teacher.
See, here's the problem. I'm the kid that would have ended up at Disney dehydrated without any food because I would have just pissed my mom.
Well,
off
we always
I got nothing the whole way down there.
We always have always water and other snacks.
Exactly, and I'm like, Pete. You're not even on a flashing red light. Yeah. You are just solid red light.
You're the embodiment of a red light. All right. Jesse, you got a good one. Can you top that one?
Oh well, I don't know how I can top that one. That's amazing. But I would say my second point, and I'm gonna, you know, all I can hear is the song from Lion King, "Be Prepared." So be prepared, because you know this is huge for, you know, to kind of go along with, you know, having ideas, things to keep the kids engaged. You know, one of the things I like to do, you know, with the road trip, and really with any road trip, is, you know, one, you know, if you guys play movies in the cars, have a certain select set of, you know, DVDs for the kids to watch that, you know, and of course I load it with all the classics, you know, because, you know, I'm getting into that mindset. We're going down, you know, let's watch Aladdin, let's watch Little Mermaid, you know. Of course, I'm not watching it. Obviously, the kids are watching it in the back, but I'm playing it through the sound system, you know.
And your wife's driving. I'm sure you're not back there. Wait, we got to rewind. Daddy's favorite part just passed, and I missed it.
Exactly.
Right. I got to see the Sebastian and the Chef part. Come on. Along with Be Prepared, you know, especially for, you know, with the kids watching the DVDs, I think one of the things my wife and I really like to do, and it puts us in the mood, is really listen to our favorite podcasts. So, you know, again, like what I like to do is, you know, a couple weeks before the trip, and I know this is, you know, it's hard not to listen to, you know, and keep regular with your podcast, but I like to stockpile. You know, I like to kind of, you know, let them build up, because then what I'm doing is on the way down, we're listening to this stuff. So we're getting ramped, you know, as we're getting closer in, we're listening to, you know, tips, shows, things like that. And you know, we're just getting super excited. And it helps time pass, you know, especially if you've got, you know, if you've got three or four podcasts that you listen to, you know, and you've got 2 weeks worth. I mean, that's, you know, for us, that's about the trip down. So, and along with Be Prepared, this is one of the biggest tips I try to share with people. Is, you know, obviously we live in such a digital smartphone age where, you know, it's so easy. You know, there's an app for everything. I'd say make sure you have the proper apps. Like one of the biggest apps I tell people, if you're driving, you need to have the Waze app. Get the Waze app, because that will help you, especially divert from traffic. And also, I'm still old school into the fact, and I know, you know, there are probably people are going to say, what the heck is MapQuest? You know, I used to, you know, from the time MapQuest, I'd print. Even, you know, and now, you know, I use Google Maps.
That's always a good idea.
My directions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know what happens. Something, your phone gets damaged, you know, you're out of service area.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's always a possibility. You never know when you're not going to have coverage. That was actually going to be one of my suggestions. Most people stream their podcasts. I know a lot of the newer cars, they have USB ports, mm-hmm. where you can physically save music files or you know, MP3 files to, say, a jump drive or a thumb drive, and just plug it into your car. You don't have to worry about, oh, well, we're out of a service area, we can't stream off of Stitcher anymore, or we can't stream from iTunes right now because we don't have a signal.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Jesse, yeah. I want to give you a congratulations. You snuck 4 tips in on 1 right there. That was well played, my good man. That was difficult to do, but you did it masterfully. You make me so proud. Pete, great tip too. You know, it that is the truth. I was going to chime in on Jesse's and say, hey, if you got an iPhone, just use the mobile hotspot and then play your Netflix or your Hulu, or your Amazon Prime through your iPad. But you're mm-hmm. right. You know, anything happens to your phone, you know, that becomes hard to do, and you might not.
Or your car. Which was going to be my next tip is, before you go, take your car to the mechanic, have him or her give it the once over, make sure it's in good condition to take a long trip. Mm-hmm. The last thing you need is to be on a mountain road somewhere in the middle of the night and a ball joint breaks or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, make sure your battery's in good condition. Get the oil changed. Get your tires rotated. If they need to be replaced, now's the time, folks. Not when you have a blowout on the side of I-4.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yes. So Pete, I have a story here about my tip, and then I have another story because you just brought up the point, okay? So here's my tip, is be judicious on what you eat when you're in the car. And so here's what I mean by that. So when my wife and I honeymooned, we honeymooned actually at the Disney Institute, which is now Saratoga Springs, and we borrowed my father's car to drive down. And this was at a different point in my life when I was a different eater, a different size. But I clearly remember stopping in Kentucky for this awesome Kentucky Fried Chicken buffet about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you know what kind of physical beating a human being takes?
Oh, yeah.
When you just pile away Kentucky Fried Chicken buffet and you sit in the car afterwards to drive. Do you know the kind of problems that develops in a human body? It's not good. So in addition to that, be judicious. Use things you know you can digest well, and they're not going to leave you really full. But also plan your meals accordingly. So for like my kids, if I ask my daughters where do they want to eat, they're all going to say Subway. But in a car, Subway's a disaster because
the
lettuce is everywhere, onions everywhere, sauce is everywhere. So yeah, if your kid really likes chicken nuggets, that's really cool until they want like 5 sauces opened. So that becomes a problem in the car. So pick your meals wisely. So I'm going to give you a tip. So we have found that Subway occasionally will sell like pizza. Have you ever seen the Subway pizzas? They actually like this. Use this super mega oven, the one that toasts the bread. They'll sell pizzas. It comes as like cheese, and then you could pick your toppings, and it's actually rather inexpensive. But it's not bad. It's probably on par with like Little Caesars or Domino's, which is not good pizza. But on the road,
I can't imagine Subway pizza is good pizza either.
But you know, you have to try it when you're in the car. Here's the selling point: it comes in a little miniature box. So literally, you rip the cover off the box, and it's like giving a plate out. So instead of that flimsy wrapper, or where like the sandwich is falling everywhere, the pizza box is literally a plate. So I mean, it's like, here you go, BB. You know, she's my 6-year-old. I've never had a problem with it. It always is like self-contained, and it's like, yes, that's like there's no onion smell for the next 3 weeks in my car. You know, wherever she dropped, it was right there in the container. So, you know, plan your meals wisely. Get things that you can eat on the road, but also your kids can eat. You know, order a fries and ketchup. Like, ketchup in the car for French fries?
Oh, gosh.
That's like a disaster written all over it. So
yeah, Missy hates me because I don't let her eat fries in the car, period. I don't let people eat in my car at all, actually.
Well, Pete, that's not fun for a road trip, but...
Well, here's the thing. I've never had to go and find French fries out from under a seat either because of this rule.
That's true, and probably Stacy, Jesse, and I right now currently have French fries under
a seat. Oh my gosh.
Scary as it may be, I have had to dig out and somebody apparently lost a few fries in the front of an ambulance a time or two, and I've had to pull those out, and it's not nice.
Wow. All right. So, you know what? I appreciate those tips, but really what I want to get to is this. Jesse, you just recently went to Walt Disney World, and you and I were somehow talking. I must have picked it up on Facebook. You were leaving that day, and before you know it, you got Chris texting you and texting you in the morning and talking about, show me your room view, I'm so excited, and you're like, get this madman off my phone. But let's talk about your trip. You want to give us a little trip report here about your most recent vacation?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, and my wife is she's an elementary school teacher. She teaches third grade. And so usually when we travel and go down to Walt Disney World, we're going, you know, at a peak time. And obviously when we went down, it was spring break, which I guess is the second busiest time, I guess, as opposed to Christmas. I know Christmas gets really crowded and spring break is really crowded. But we had decided we wanted to go down at spring break because, one, we really love the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot, and two, it's not sweltering, you know, down there. It's warm enough in the day that you can go swim, and it's just nice, you know, the nights are nice. So we chose to go down for spring break, and And one of the things we've been doing recently is trying to stay at a different resort, one that we've not been to. And as I mentioned earlier, we joined the Disney Vacation Club, a couple years back. We love trying out on points, if we can get it, new resorts. And one of the resorts that were on our bucket list was Bay Lake Tower. And, just one of the things I'd always wanted to stay at Contemporary. And, this, through Disney Vacation Club, gave us the opportunity to stay at Bay Lake Tower and be able to walk to the Magic Kingdom. Because I tell you what, being able to walk there is like one of the greatest perks staying that close. Because even at the Polynesian or a Grand Floridian, you're only a monorail ride away. But, you can't walk to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And
you could, but you're probably going to get hit by a bus.
That's right. That's right. We loved, we planned out, and of course my wife, she starts planning, 10 months in advance, even though we can't even book it 7 months, so she's a major planner. And we, we're figuring out, where we're going to eat here, that type of thing. And so she had planned it to where we were going to originally go down on a Monday and stay Monday through the Saturday and come back. But through my work, my full-time job, something come up and we had to drop that Monday. And then at the last minute, I ended up getting that Monday off. So we had to change our reservation around a little bit because we dropped our reservation for Monday the 2nd of April. And ended up having to stay somewhere off-site when we drove down. So that was, kind of a bummer to us. Not because staying off-site is bad, not at all. But we wanted to be on-site, for the full trip.
Yeah.
Which ended up being nice. So we ended up staying at a really nice Spring Hill Suites that they've built up. It's at the Flamingos Crossings area. I guess that's going to be the new shopping center here in a couple years that they're going to be building up for Disney.
Okay.
So it was actually relatively very close. I mean, we were just right outside of the gate, one of the gate entrances, on heading back toward the Epcot area. Of course, like I mentioned earlier, our drive to this, we drove down overnight, so I was tired. So really what we did when we got there, we kind of just chilled out a little bit, and, we went to Epcot, walked around, and just ate and drank a couple of items, we were able to get a fast pass for Test Track. But I'll tell you this, and this is how you know it was spring break, I had never seen Living with the Land have a standby time more than 10 minutes. It was at 90 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
90 minutes.
That's painful. That's a painful wait right there.
And I don't mean to make it sound like Living with the Land is not worth, the ride, but I don't know that I would wait 90 minutes for that ride.
Yeah,
I love it.
We've been so conditioned to just walk on. That would make me, what? As you walk by that, okay, I get you.
Especially if you're a first, I'd have to imagine how many people are in that line or first time ever going on Living Land. I'm like, man, you're going to be way upset, because you're going to realize, oh wow, I waited 90 minutes. I love that type of ride. Well, so we didn't do too much the first day we got down there. Like we decided to kind of go to bed early because we were going to get up and check into Bay Lake Tower very first thing and go to Chef Mickey before we started our day at the Magic Kingdom. So, that it was incredible. From the time we checked in that morning, we actually showed up at the check-in counter at about 6:45 a.m. Now, I don't know how many have ever tried to check in that early, and it's most of the time, I think, even though you can check in, you might not have a room available, and that was the case for us. We didn't have a room ready, but we were able to check in so that we could start using our meal plan. And that was the good thing, because we wanted to go eat Chef Mickey, and I don't know if you guys have ever had the chance to eat there. And I know the character breakfasts can, or any of the character meals, you know, you're really going for the character itself. But, you know, we actually did like the food at Chef Mickey, you know, when we did it 5 years ago with just our son. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to do it again, you know, with our daughter, you know, being, you know, she we hadn't ate there with her, and it was just an incredible experience. You know, of course, they all the, you know, Mickey, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto came to the table, and just, you know, my daughter's eyes just lit up. Man, she just gave Pluto the biggest hug, you know, and yeah, she loves Pluto.
Yeah, so. I've eaten there before too, and I actually thought the food was pretty good as well too. I wouldn't say it was the best buffet, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm just paying for the characters. The food was good. I've always just found that, like, at Chef Mickey's, that, like, the characters come so quickly afterwards that it's like you have to get a good plate of food because they're probably going to come in relatively close proximity. So, like, you're there for a while, and you don't want to get up because if you do, you're going to miss one. So you kind of have to stay planted for a while.
So, oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Find your sweet spot. I'm sorry.
No, this is great. So, you know, of course, you know, and we don't always get the Disney dining plan when we go down. It kind of, you know, one of the things we try to figure out is, you know, where do we want to eat? Does it make sense for us? Because I know one of the biggest things that, you know, and this all comes with planning when you go down, is trying to decide where you're going to eat. What are you going to eat? Are you going to take snacks in? Are you going to, you know, what kind of meals you want to do it? And for us, we had decided, you know, there were three places we wanted to eat for sure. And then it made sense because after thinking that we're paying out of pocket for these meals, and of course we're going to have to eat, you know, through other meals through the week, we had decided to add on the Disney dining plan, which gives you, of course, one table credit, one quick service credit, two snacks, and then, of course, your refillable mug, which is good for 14 days. So we had, for our trip, what we had planned was to do a split stay. And, you know, of course, you know, a split stay for us meant doing Bay Lake Tower for the first part of our trip, and then we had decided to do two nights at Port Orleans Riverside. And now I don't know if, you know, who's familiar with the dining plan, but you know what we were able to do was basically add the dining plan on for just the three nights that we're at Bay Lake Tower and then not do the dining plan when we're at Port Orleans. Now, one of the wonderful things about the dining plan that you can do is you can kind of you have all your meal credits, snack credits, all that stuff kind of available to you at the moment you're checked in, and they're good all the way until midnight of the day you checked out. So usually what we do is we try to split our quick service meals, because a lot of places, if you use your credits right, you're going to be able to share a meal. For instance, we love Casey's Corner in the Magic Kingdom, especially on a quick service credit, because I don't know if you've guys seen, I mean, those are huge hot dogs and that you can get in there. Mm-hmm. So, and usually they always have a special dog, and I know you guys probably get a good Chicago dog up there, but they were trying to do their version of one that had a pickle on it. And so we got that, and, you know, we shared it, and it was good. And but what we did through our trip is, even when we had checked out of the Bay Lake Tower on that Friday morning, we were able to carry our credits in to that night and actually eat on our quick service credits at Disney Springs at Deluxe Burger. So, and I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but we,
That's a great tip, Jesse, because people sometimes leave at like 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. and you carry them over all that day.
Yeah, no, your dining plan doesn't expire until midnight the day you check out.
You know what? And I leave early, too, so that's a really good tip. If I ever decided to buy the dining plan, is to try and get the latest possible flight out of there so I can maximize my eating. That's really good. I didn't ever thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, you know, I'm one of my nerd parts of me is I do everything on Excel. I spreadsheet out, and of course, I always build the business case for my wife, you know, should we get it or should we not? And we look at things like, you know, on this trip, are we going to eat here or there? And one of the places that has become a must-eat place for us is Ohana. We love Ohana.
That's my favorite.
Oh, that bread pudding is life.
Yes.
It's just when you think, how can I possibly eat anything else? And then they bring that, and magically, your stomach just opens up.
I know.
it's just wonderful. But, you know, so we, you know, things like that, we were like, well, you know, that's, you know, we wanted to experience these things. And another reason for this trip going down for spring break was my son had a birthday in March, and of course my daughter's birthday was on the 5th of April, which happened to be the time we were there. And so she wanted Ohana, you know, and of course she's not eating the big portions of food that we are. She loves the ice cream that comes out at the end, but the atmosphere, she just loves, you know, of course she's big into Moana and loves that movie. So, you know, we were like, you know, we'll eat there. And we happened to be able to get a table at we did a 7:55 reservation. So by the time we were getting our main entrees, you know, that's when you're seeing Wishes. Or no, I apologize, I just said it wrong. We're seeing Happily Ever After start at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
So you got the fireworks coming, and boy, just a magical experience to be able to dine and actually look out the window and see Happily Ever After.
Yeah,
that's great. Incredible.
Really hard to beat that view and that like atmosphere right there, right?
It was even better when you could watch Wishes. So.
There you go. You know, it took me a while to think, you know, because, you know, Wishes, it holds some special memories. But I tell you, the fireworks that go along with Happily Ever After are just spectacular. That show is they've really done a good job with it. Now, of course, you know, always, you know, Wishes will be in my heart, you know, especially that nice song that I listen to all the time.
Tell us about your park visits, Jesse, with that.
So, okay, so, you know, again, one of the things that you were dealing with is high crowd levels. And obviously, if you want to be able to ride certain rides and you don't have a fast pass, your choices are either you're going to rope drop that park and hope that you get a good wait time to get onto one of the big ticket rides, or you're going to, you know, stay late at night and maybe get, you know, lucky with the extra magic hours. So for us, we visited all four parks. You know, of course, what we did with Hollywood Studios, because again, you know, yeah, obviously they're under construction with you know, Toy Story Land coming, and of course with Star Wars Land, we were able to say, okay, we're going to visit Hollywood Studios for the first part of the day. So we didn't use our fast passes for Hollywood Studios. We had booked fast passes at Magic Kingdom for later in the day. So what we did is we rope dropped Hollywood Studios and decided what we can do is get there early, get a good spot, then head back, hit Toy Story Midway Mania, then go over to Tower of Terror. And, you know, because, you know, one of the things you're going to do in these high crowd levels is wait in line if you're going to want to ride some of those attractions.
Right.
So, you know, if you get to plan together, say, hey, we're going to get up early, we're going to rope drop the parks, then we're going to rest midday, and then we're going to go back to the parks and use fast passes. So for us, we kind of did that with Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom. We did it with Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom, you know, split kind of there. We did Magic Kingdom for first part of the day, kind of did some of the things we wouldn't do normally, like go over to Tom Sawyer's Island and walk around with the kids. Because, you know, those are some of the things you can do when it's high crowd is actually enjoy the park itself. Because, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love some of the lines or some of the queues that you're going to be in line for are amazing to take, you know, to go through. And I'd say, you know, obviously you don't want to wait 3 hours or something, but if it's a 30, 45 minute wait and you've never been through the queue for, say, Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride, go through that. It's it's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great queue.
Good tip.
Space Mountain. So. But
okay.
Give us
how many days total then? You were there for a total of five days, Jesse. How long were you there for total?
So we were there 6 days.
Okay.
6 days. Because, you know, of course, when we drove down that day, we kind of, you know, we hadn't really planned to go into Epcot, but we had purchased, you know, just based on the way we were doing our trips, we had purchased the annual pass last year. And so that gave us the freedom to go in. So originally we had only planned FastPass wise to go in for the 6 days, but we spent the majority of our time at Magic Kingdom. I think that is our favorite park. We just have the best fun there. There's so much that you can do. You could stay in one land pretty much all day if you wanted to. Just enjoying some of the smaller things. And so six days we were there. We did take time one of the days to not go into the park, but for a couple of hours, and then just utilize, spend some time going to the Disney Springs area, using, going to the pool, swimming with the kids, because, I think it's also, you don't want to wear them out too. And especially with, of course, 9 and 5, my 5-year-old, we're pushing her in a stroller, but my 9-year-old, even doing all that walking, I'm tired after the 4th or 5th day. He's walking. And so, we really have made a point not to just go sun up to sundown in the park, because that takes its toll. And really, I think it wears your patience thin too, especially with, when they're saying, Mom, Dad, I want this. And so really what we kind of just leisured more on this trip, even though it was high crowd. We had ice cream every day. It was like, okay, kids, you want ice cream? We're going to eat ice cream.
That plays upon Pete's tip too, of knowing your, knowing your limits. And when you travel with kids, even if you travel by yourself too, unless that's your idea of relaxation and vacation, that's a great idea. Make sure that you understand, what are you trying to get out of the vacation? Are you trying to go on every attraction, or are you just looking for a getaway? But because you're right, Jesse, you're a big, strong dude. Your 9-year-old son doesn't have the stride, doesn't have the muscle mass, and then you're asking him to walk around all day. That's where you see those family meltdowns at the end of the day, where dad's insane, dad's crazy, the kid's crying, mom's upset, and it's like, that could have been avoided, like an hour and a half at the pool. That could have really been helpful to everybody at the middle of the day.
And I would say, and we had made those mistakes in the past, that we learn from our, that's what wisdom is, right? We learn from what we did wrong the first time, but we know better now. Because, when we first started going, we would rope drop and stay until until the lights were being cut out. And really we got to thinking, and I'm not saying that, my son Connor won't like that when we get older. We might want to go into the Magic Kingdom when they have extra magic hours at 2 a.m. and hit, just stay up. But, right now, we're thinking we want this to be enjoyable for everybody, and we want to come back. I think you can all attest to this. Sometimes you need a vacation after you're going down to Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Because you walk so much and you take in so much, and it really is a grand experience for, our first couple times, it's like, I wanted to go and go and go and go. But some of the best times we've had has been on the days where it's like we're just leisurely going through things.
Right.
And just taking in. Like we went, I'll tell you this, one of the things we did, we kind of ended the week on our Saturday. What we had planned to do was just go into Magic Kingdom. But before we did that, we wanted to go over to Fort Wilderness and kind of walk around and just see the ranch over there and partake of some of the activities they had there and actually eat at, some of the venues they had there. And that was incredible because, it's just, it's such a, that's the great thing about Walt Disney World is, you can go multiple times and have a different experience every time you go because there's just so much to be done. And if you get it in your head that, hey, I can't do everything while I'm here, but when we come back, I want to do this. When we get, because we're like that. We're in our head. We're thinking already, like, what are we going to do next time? We're not going to try to do it this time. And this was one of those things. We said on our last trip, this next time we come, let's go to Fort Wilderness. So mm-hmm. we did that, and I tell you, if you haven't been over there, you know, it's incredible. And we're going to be looking at probably trying to do the Hoop-Dee-Doo review here in the next couple trips, or even Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, just to experience that. But you know, my wife, she's not the camping type. It's actually funny, we met at a camp, but she's not a camping type. So I love it. You know, I love the outdoors. My son does scouts. And so one of the things that we had talked about on the trip, he said, do you think we could bring the scouts down and camp out here? And I said, you know, that would be wonderful. So just, you know, getting to walk through there and see that he likes that kind of thing. And whereas otherwise he didn't know about this. He didn't know about Fort Wilderness. You know, I knew about it, but he didn't, and he's like, "This is it. This is excellent." I said, "Yeah, we could combine two things you love:
the greatest Boy Scout camp out ever, right?"
Yes, that'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was looking at your trip through Facebook, and you had a really cool unplanned memory develop with your daughter. So, tell me about that, because when I saw it, I was like, "You really? That's awesome. She'll remember that forever."
So, you know, it's actually, you know, Stella turned 5 while we were down there. And the day she turned 5, she started noticing that one of her bottom teeth were loose. So she said, "Dad, you know, my tooth is loose." And we were like, "Okay, well, is it ready to come out?" She said, "Well, I don't really know, you know." And of course, she had never pulled one before, and we didn't want to kind of force it on her. So we kind of thought, "Okay, well, we'll just kind of see where it goes with that, you know." And, you know, even though it's her 5th birthday, we're like, "We're not going to try to pull the tooth so you can have your birthday in that." But so the next day, we were actually we're walking around in Liberty Square inside the Magic Kingdom. And you guys have heard of the new Muppet Show. They do the little mini show they do above the Hall of Presidents. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big sucker for the Muppets. I love them. So we're sitting there, and in fact, you know, we said, you know, I'd ask the kids, "Hey, you guys want to get some popcorn? You know, kind of watch this." And you know, and then, you know, I look over and, you know, Stella's saying, "Dad, my tooth, I think it's going to come out." And so, you know, right before the Muppet show starts, she's here trying to pull her tooth, and my wife's like, "Well, let me help you." And she said, "Well, I don't, you know, my daughter's the type that she sees blood, she's going to cry out of
mouth.
It doesn't
exactly
matter if she hurts. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm bleeding, you know." So my wife was trying to assure her, "You know, we can pull it if you want." And you're looking, it's hanging out. So anyways, so she lost her tooth.
Aww.
Her very first tooth in the Magic Kingdom. So
love it.
That is cool.
Yes. So we got a visit from Tinkerbell. Not the tooth fairy.
Oh, nice.
Because this is Tinkerbell's jurisdiction. That's,
yes.
You know, so.
Well, that is very true.
You've got a high bar to follow up on tooth, you know, 2, 3, 4 from this point forward, I tell you.
Yeah, and go but ahead, yeah, that it couldn't have been a more magical moment for her, because you know she, you know, we're gonna remember that. We've got pictures of that. I just thought that was incredible.
That is very cool.
And if one more thing I would say, you know, about our trip altogether, and one of the things I think that is very important, you know, if you're planning a trip down, and even if, even, you know, I highly strongly recommend people use somebody. Use a travel agent that can plan for you. And I know you guys have had Amy on the show and talked about the importance of that. And I think it is. It's so important. One of the things I often tell my clients that I can do for them is put in room requests. And, you know, one of the things we did this trip was we put, you know, we searched touring plans and looked at, mm-hmm. you know, rooms in the Bay Lake Tower. So we put in our room request because we booked under a lake view room, and you know, of course, you know, Bay Lake Tower, you're thinking, "Man, I would love to have a theme park view." And my wife had looked and said, "Hey, if we request these rooms, I think you'll be able to look out over the balcony and see the theme park." Well, we had requested a certain type of room. They fulfilled the request, which was incredible. So we had a lake view room that was actually a theme park view room.
Nice.
So we were able to see Space Mountain and the castle from our room, which was just, again, a cherry on top of the magic. It was just, it was great.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Stacy and Pete, and I think we all echo this. I don't think people really realize. I mean, we do, and everyone who's listening does, because we're all major Disney fans. But what a intensive trip, and how daunting it can be when you're planning your first trip to Disney. And this is not necessarily like a travel agent like show, but it is the truth. This is not like you and I are planning to go to, like, the Illinois State Fair, where we're just going to be there. Like, this right. requires some major right. planning. So I agree with you, Jesse, that if yeah. you feel like this is beyond you, do the right thing. Call a 20-second timeout. Call an audible. Get someone who knows yeah. to help you, because, you know, travel agents, that's how they make their money, is they're good at this. They know the things that you don't. So
yeah,
do that.
Even if you don't feel like it's too much for you, call and ask.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. And I think, you know, that's the one beautiful thing about these podcasts and that you guys do and offer, is really it's an extra resource you have at your fingertips for mm-hmm. planning. Because, mm-hmm. You know, where else would you have to book your dining 6 months in advance?
Right.
Name one other vacation destination where you do that. And you can't. It's Walt Disney World. So using an agent, somebody who can go to bat for you and tell you, hey, this is the best time to go there. In fact, we did. We used an agent before I became an agent. I mean, we were surprised at how much we didn't know and how she just gave us great tips.
Yeah.
We took that and, you know, built upon that. So I highly recommend it. And especially, you know, utilize the resources at your fingertips through Twitter, through Facebook. So
yes.
many good groups out there. Edcot, man, that is a great one. I've seen so many posts on there the last couple weeks, you know, just some great tips. So
outstanding. Jesse, if anyone wanted to contact you or ask you questions about your trip or about your business, give us your social media addresses one more time.
Sure. Yes. DisneyDad23, is my handle at Twitter mm-hmm. and Instagram. My Jesse Marvelous Mouse Travels Facebook page is Jesse's Disney Travel. So if you do www.facebook.com/Jesse's Disney Travel, you can find me there. And check out the Facebook posts for the WDW podcast. I'm on there. You know, I'm usually responding to, you know, the stuff you guys post. So, you know, I think I'd love to, anybody has any questions, please. I mean, you know, just asking me a question doesn't mean you have to use me or, you know, go around. I'd love to just talk Disney with you. I love it regardless. So that's my passion. So.
Outstanding. Peter, Jesse mentioned it earlier. If people wanted to ask us a question, you, Stacy, myself, Jesse, how could they get a hold of us the best?
Edcot. Here's the only thing. Answer the questions before we let you in. That's all we ask. It's not much. It's three quick questions. They're not hard. It's not something you'll have to look up. It's just so we know that we're not going to get a bunch of spam robots and stuff all of a sudden in the group.
Okay, so the Edcot group is the group officially for the WDW Review Facebook page, and pretty much everyone we've ever had on as a guest and the people that respond, this is a tight-knit Disney community that we've tried to kind of grow, and, you know, it contains things as bizarre as your favorite jelly bean flavor, which was, it got like, how many,
that was a huge
how many
thread.
Comments?
Oh
my good heavens.
That's so crazy.
The jelly bean thread to, you know, post your favorite family memory picture. So, again, that's Edcot, EDCOT. Stacy, how else can they get a hold of us if they want to ask us a question?
At the WDW Review Facebook page is another good place to send a message and to check things out there. It's a great place.
Yeah, we're also on Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter. Mm-hmm.
So, Jesse, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you spending so much of your time with us, and we know it's a little bit it's a little late where you are compared to where we are, so we appreciate you extending your night for us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a genuine pleasure I really do appreciate your guys' podcast. I think you guys do a wonderful job.
Well, we appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you. So for my friend Peter, for my friend Stacy, for my friend Jesse, we'd like to thank you for downloading and listening, and have a great day.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.